all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself?
Aloha, I am your host, Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures. Unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-389-3452 or 877-489-6350. Our direct lines, same area code, is 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 and 413-4511. And boy, have we got a show for all of you this evening. But before we get started, I truly wanted to welcome each and every one of you to tonight's show. It is always a true honor to be among the presence of greatness. So thank you all for being here with all of us. I know that you will be very excited about our guests for this evening. There will be a wealth of information that will come forth that I know that will not only shed some further light for each and every one of you, but gain a much better understanding of the true dynamics, not only of our own personal world, but our worlds beyond. Our shows tonight, our title of our show for this evening is Walking Between Worlds, Belonging to None. I'd like to share some information about our guest this evening, and we have with us tonight Anne Andrews. She was born in South London and had a poor but very happy upbringing. Her mother was a middle-class housewife, and she received her great love of nature and animals from her father. At age 12, they moved to the country where she met her husband, pardon me, Paul, of 29 years. They both have two sons, Daniel, 27, Jason, 23. It was after Jason was born that another well-hidden part of their lives came to light, that Jason and Anne are alien adoptees. From that time, the whole family was plagued by strange paranormal experiences. It took nearly 12 years to finally accept the possibility of alien interaction in their lives after searching for any other explanation. Let's all please give Anne a warm welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha, Anne.
Hello, Leilani. Thank you very much for asking me.
It is truly an honor to have you with us this evening. I know that the listeners are really tuned in to really share with you all the knowledge that you are going to be sharing with all of us this evening. Before we get any further, let us share the website with the listeners, and that is www.walkingbetweenworlds.co.uk. So, Anne, let me ask you, how did this all begin for you and your family along with Jason?
Okay. This all began just, how can I put it? Let's see, it began actually before Jason was born, in so much as our older son, who is 4 years older than Jason, Daniel, he used to have an invisible friend, which, you know, I mean, obviously is very acceptable in, you know, sort of families that have just the one child. So we didn't worry too much, you know, about it at first, but then we got a little bit concerned when he would describe his friend to us. You know, we were expecting obviously a teddy bear or something, you know, fantastical. But he used to describe his friend as a soldier man who would tell him about the stars and you know, the heavens and all sorts of things, you know, the sort of information that, you know, a four-year-old just wouldn't have. And that's really when, you know, when it sort of truly began. It was only when Jason was born, you know, we used to find that he was moved from his cot at night. He would always be in his room, you know, in the nursery. But sometimes he will be found underneath the cot, sometimes behind the door. And as I say, it was just a few years on from that, but, you know, Daniel, actually came to us one day, in tears and said to us that his friend that he called Junas said that, he wouldn't be seeing Daniel anymore for quite a while because they'd realized that, it wasn't Daniel that they should be working with. It was actually Jason.
Wow.
And I suppose really that was the start.
So tell us tonight, Anne, how did it come to light that they were actual extraterrestrial beings that were actually visiting your sons?
Well, as you said in the introduction, it actually took me personally 12 years to actually accept that, you know, this could even be a possibility, because as I say, when Jason was just, you know, just a few weeks after he was born, we would find him move from his cot, always in the room. At that time, being very rational people, you know, we put it down to that it could possibly be Daniel that was standing on a chair, possibly be able to reach the baby, you know, all sort of rational things come into your head, you know, and even though this still happened when, you know, Daniel wasn't even in the house, you know, we still said, well, perhaps we've made a mistake and, you know, we've got our times or dates mixed up. We just wouldn't allow ourselves to have, you know, have belief in anything like that. So this sort of behavior stopped after, you know, after a few months. So we thought, well, perhaps it was Daniel after all, and perhaps we were right. But then as Jason started, you know, sort of going into the toddler years, he would come, you know, sort of bursting into our bedroom sometimes at night, you know, so when he was, like, able to walk. And he would be screaming about, you know, little men that would come, were coming into his room, and taking him away with them. He always said that, you know, these small people, that which he described as very thin and grey looking with very large eyes, would come up through the floor, they would come through the walls, you know, into his room, and they would make him basically sort of float out through the, you know, through the glass with them, through the solid glass, and they would take him to what he described, or what he thought at that time, was a very cold hospital place. So this sort of behavior, you know, went on, not all the time. Obviously we have months of relief, shall I say. But, you know, it continued, it was a theme throughout his young life. You know, this would happen sort of, you know, for maybe 6 months and, then there, you know, every week, and then there will be nothing for several months, but it would always recur. And I suppose, again, you know, it's just, I remember sort of cuddling him and telling him, you know, it's all right, mummy's here, and you've just had another nightmare. And, you know, and the look that he would give me was like, you know, no, I haven't, Mum. You know, I know what's real. I just
very paralyzing for you as a mother and of course your husband, and then feeling that deep sense of loss of, you know, what do you do? Where do you go? And yet at the same time trying to keep things in perspective and balance.
Well, exactly. And as I say, you know, we were brought up, to believe in very logical things. You know, we were very rational people. You know, so that the way that I was brought up was it was okay to believe in ghosts and spirit. That's fine. But, you know, belief in aliens or beings from another world, that is totally, you know, that is not allowed. So, of course, we look for the rational, you know, we look for the logical. I mean, as Jason sort of, you know, got older, as I say, this continued, you know, throughout his life. And as he got older, I mean, we took him to see different doctors. We went to several different clinics. You know, we didn't want to put him through all of that. But if you can understand, we wanted someone professional to say to us, look, you know, this is what's happening. This is what it's called. This is, you know, this is going on. Here's some pills. Give him those. He'll be fine. I mean, obviously that never ever happened. In fact, we took him to see a psychiatrist. And she actually wrote to our own doctor stating that Jason is not psychotic whatsoever. You know, in other words, what he says is the truth, and what he's always said has always been the truth.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I can just feel, you know, you, as you share this information, going through this time period, you know, going to all the different doctors, of course, wanting the best for Jason, and, mm-hmm. and being able to come to some sense and understanding of what's happening. And I'm sure there were times when you sat and just pondered, you know, what's going on in our lives here. And, of course, for a mother wanting to protect her child, that had to have been a very challenging time for you personally.
It was, because as you say, Leilani, you know, it's just where do you go? You know, we did all the clinics. We took him for various tests in the hospitals. You know, he was tested for everything: sleep epilepsy, any sort of brain malfunction. You know, to explain why he was so adamant that these things were happening to him. But I suppose it was when we started doing this that we also got, you know, I suppose was sort of like let into a little bit of what was really going on. There were a couple of occasions when he was actually not in the house at all. And he always said that he knew exactly when they were coming, because he said he got this tingling sensation. And as I say, you know, one night, as you do, you know, you get up randomly, I don't know, to use the bathroom, which is what my husband did, which is what Paul did. And then he came back in the bedroom, you know, I'll never forget it, and, you know, shook me awake and said, you know, I can't find Jason. Of course, it's absolute, well, you can imagine yourself, it's absolute panic. And, you know, where do you look for a, you know, say he was nearly 12 at the time, you know, where do you look for a 12-year-old? It's ludicrous.
It's time of the night as well.
Well, exactly. It was about 3:30 in the morning, as it usually was. And as I say, we searched a house, you know, I found myself sort of literally in sheer terror, just ripping, you know, things out of cupboards and, you know, convinced that he's got to be hiding somewhere, because, you know, the house was still locked up from the inside exactly as we'd left it. All windows were locked. We had two enormous dogs which lived in the house. And, I mean, anybody getting in or out, you know, would have roused the dogs. But there was absolutely nothing. And, of course, sort of, you know, out of sheer sort of, well, sort of last resort, really. You know, we searched the garden, And my husband actually found Jason still asleep inside a locked tool shed at the end of the garden.
Wow.
So that was, you know, that was one of the times when he was missing. And also on a couple of occasions we actually saw we were actually woken in our bedroom by you know, this fantastic sort of blue white light which just seemed to come through the window and literally, you know, lit up the whole of the house. And of course by the time my husband sort of, you know, got out of bed and, you know, wanted to know what was going on, it was just as if somebody had flicked a switch and we were all in darkness again. So, you know, again, we were sort of starting to be given, I suppose, little clues, as it were, that, you know, yes, something is actually going on.
Absolutely. I'd like to take a moment, if I may, Anne, and share some of the comments that have been coming in. Mm-hmm. I'd like to share them with you. And we've got Healing for Inner Peace, and he says, working with our galactic family directly has many life-changing benefits. My personal experiences started when I was a child in the 70s. I saw them flying outside my window, and I was excited because I would be playing with my friends that night. I've had many positive, loving experiences with them all my life. And I'd like to give you a moment if you'd like to, you know, share your own thoughts with Healing for Inner Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that to be true with your observation with Jason and his interaction with our extraterrestrial families?
Yes, I have now. You know, I do apologize if I've given any of your listeners, you know, the idea that this was, you know, like a monstrous thing happening. I suppose in one respect it was at that time because, as Jason would tell you now, you know, it's fear that narrows the goalposts. And because he was brought up with our sort of social values, as it were, you know, this sort of thing just didn't happen, which is obviously why he was so terrified, you know, when it did start happening to him. But as I say, sort of, you know, I think really that the catalyst, you know, came for him when, you know, something happened which made us basically look at ourselves and say, we do believe you. We now know what's going on. You know, we would like to help you in any way that we can. Because if you ask him now, you know, what changed for him, he will always say it was really the day that my mum and dad said that, yes, they do believe me. And he said that seemed to change things for him because he then realized that he wasn't on his own in this. And I think that is very important to stress, which again is one of my reasons for writing the book, because he felt very much alone. And in England, you know, there was just very, very little, you know, information or people that you could talk to about this. It's been a very sort of hushed sort of thing over here. So I suppose really, you know, going from feeling alone to then knowing that, you know, your family is 100% behind you, not just there to give you a hug and, you know, say, oh, it's another nightmare. You know, we were actually 100% behind him. And then he just started thinking, well, you know, so what is happening to me? Let's stop and, you know, stop being a scaredy cat, as he puts it, and, you know, start listening. And once he did that, he started learning and, well, as they say, the rest is history.
So, we really thank you for coming on to the show and sharing, you know, Jason and your family's experience, because, you know, a lot of the listeners that tune into this show weekly are, you know, I've done a lot of extraterrestrial shows. Matter of fact, next week we're doing another one with Steve Bassett, and he works with the White House on lifting the truth embargo, which really boils down to is that humanity has that right to know the truth about the extraterrestrials. And so mm-hmm. it's very refreshing for us, the courage, the strength, to shed the insight of, no, we're not alone. And number two is there's not really anything for us to be afraid of. And furthermore, and I really thank you all for contributing to a greater understanding of our sisters and brothers that, you know, continuously visit us. So with that all said, let me ask you this question is, you know, is it specifically for Indigo children, or is that a commitment or a personal contract that has taken place? Because I know most of the people that have come in the late, I mean, the early, what, 30s up through late 50s were all Indigos that were flooding the planet. So mm-hmm. do you find many of the Indigos that are here now have that direct communication?
Yes, I do. You know, as you say, there are a lot of Indigo children coming in, you know, even as we speak. You know, things are changing, you know, as obviously you're aware, you know, the world, the planet is changing. Certainly the vibration is changing, you know, all for the better. But it's interesting also when you talk about, you know, do people sort of have this contract. Again, speaking to Jason about this sort of thing, he tells me that, yes, a contract is made on a soul level. So, you know, on a soul level, we, you know, people involved with the ETs would have had a contract, you know, giving the ETs the right to, you know, to come, to take them, to teach them. So, yes, this is all done on a soul level. But, you know, I do believe as well that, you know, contact is happening more, so much more and more. And I believe it's, you know, it's every person in the world. They have the right to know what is going on, you know. And again, you know, I speak out wherever I can, and just to try and endorse this.
Absolutely, and I have really stepped up to the plate as well, you know, to really support and do what I feel the world and humanity deserves to know. And I do believe very strongly that the humanity deserves to know the truth. You know, I've had my own personal experiences, but it's really nice to have someone such as yourself and Jason really, you know, share your own experiences. Now, can you actually describe some of the extraterrestrial beings that Jason firsthand has interacted with? Are they different ones, or was there a particular group that paid, you know, continuously visited with him?
Yes, the group that Jason describes are basically, he says that the smaller beings, the smaller greys, are sort of like, well, he likens them to a workforce. You know, they're like the fetchers and carriers, if you like. He said that they come, but they're also taller greys with them, which have a very similar appearance. But he said they are very obviously in charge. You know, they give the orders, or, you know, however he puts it. He said he has also seen and interacted with very, very human-like beings, but very, very gentle beings, very blonde beings. I think there is a term for them. I think they're called Nordics, if I'm correct. But they're very human-looking, very beautiful people, if I can say that. Because I have met them, or met with some of them, you know, myself on a personal basis. We believe
very
that
very young looking too, aren't they, Anne? They're very young looking, aren't they?
They are, yes, extremely. With the most piercing blue eyes, you know, which are absolutely you know, absolutely beautiful, amazing. As I said, we believe that, that Daniel Soldier Man, Junus, was one of these people. Jason also interacted with, well, what he at the time called grasshoppers. But I understand that the American term for them would be like praying mantis. If you've heard of this race,
I have. He said,
you have. I thought you would have. Yeah. He calls them the guardians. He says that they have the knowledge of the universe within them, and he says that that knowledge is passed on to their young. It's passed on genetically, so that the young are born with this knowledge. He's interacted with them. He finds them, at first he was very frightened of them because of their immense size, and obviously of the look of them. But he says that they have such a wonderful, wonderful, peaceful energy, and a warm energy. It's a pure love energy. And he said he just loves to be in their company. There is another being. Sorry?
If I may hold your thought, though, Anne, because
it's
really important for us to get this information out. And a lot of the listeners that actually have tuned into this show and been following that, we had an experience in 2007 where actually Captain Thor came right down, beamed himself down right next to me during a live radio show.
Wow.
And I was on camera at the time too. It was so phenomenal. And it was interesting because the guest I had, his name is Dr. Stranges, and he's actually interacted with him quite a bit himself, and mm-hmm. he was just starting to tell me that they were actually broadcasting the radio show onto the ships. And just did that, Captain Thor comes down to confirm that, but please continue sharing about our sisters and brothers.
Okay, I will do. Yes, as I say, Jason has also met beings which he just calls them light. He said it's the only way he can describe them. They are just pure, very, very, very innocent light. He said the vibration about these beings is just so wonderful. He said it's like a connection to the universe itself is the way he describes it. I've personally met with a being through the help of a medium who asked me to. To go along and help to facilitate this. I met with a being who I can only describe as a lion being, a lion man, I called him. I shall try my best to describe him. He's very, very big. He's at least 7 feet tall, very muscular, wide. But he has a very, very gentle face, but, It's like his hair is like golden and resembles that of a lion's mane, which is why I'm calling the term, lion man. He told me that he was sort of like a galactic warrior, if you like, a peacekeeper. He sort of likened himself to our own like United Nations forces, in that he tries to help to keep the peace throughout the galaxy. And he told me that, he's Jason's protector, and also that, Jason is very important, at this time, in the Earth shift. The thing that I do remember sort of, greatly about him was that he told me that I couldn't look into his eyes because the brightness would hurt my own. And he explained that this is because where he comes from was like a crystalline place, and he said it's just so bright that their eyes have become accustomed, but looking into his would damage mine. But say that was a fantastic you know, a wonderful, wonderful encounter, one that I won't forget in a hurry. I don't know. I'm trying to think of any others that Jason has mentioned. He has also mentioned like a small sort of almost fairy-like creature, which he says sometimes accompanies some of the taller greys. He said that they can be quite dangerous. And he says, you know, he's always sort of kept away from them, been told to keep away from them. But he sort of believes that they're just like some sort of, I don't know, like pets or something for them. Something which they found of interest somewhere else. So, there you go.
Perfect sense to me. Oh my God, I apologize, Ed, but that's, you know, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I did want to take a second here because we do have a question from one of the listeners, and it is from IM. And she says she'd like to know how many types of experiences that Jason and your family have experienced.
Okay, sorry, how many or what types?
What types of experiences, yes. And, of course, you've just described a couple of them, you know, where the lion being that has come to share his information with you along with the grays and their little, and I hope I say this respectfully, guys, their little pets.
Okay. Right. Okay. It's oh dear. Where would I start? We've had quite a few. You know, quite a few sort of various types of encounter. I suppose that there was. Trying to think now. I say that there were times, obviously, when you know Jason would be physically taken. This doesn't occur so much now. You know, he seems to be more on a par with them on a level. You know, he treats them as equals and sees them and indeed calls them friends. I suppose our experience really started as I say when Jason was, you know, was just in his cot in his crib. But for me, I can now sort of remember things which happened to me when I was very, very young. There was one particular thing which I do remember, and that was walking through a park with my dad. You know, it was a bright summer's day, just walking along quite happily, holding my dad's hand. You know, we were like just walking, swinging arms as, you know, as children do. And then I suddenly became aware that the park was getting darker, and you know I couldn't smell the grass anymore, and then suddenly you know it still looked like the park, but just a little bit darker, as if it was like overcast. And then in front of us there were I think about three or four of these. These Nordic beings, that they were dressed in like long robes, long flowing, white robes. Cause I remember sort of, you know, giggling and thinking, oh, you know, I've read, or, you know, our teacher has told us about them. You know, they're like, Jesus' disciples, that sort of thing, you know, that as you do as a child, you know, you try and liken things. And My dad sort of, you know, stopped and like squeezed my hand, so they obviously weren't strangers to him. And then, you know, the next recollection I have is of being somewhere that wasn't the park. It was like a hard like metal floor in like how should I say, like a curved sort of like room, like corridor, and One of the people looked down at me and then just grabbed my hand and walked me away from my dad. And, you know, I remember sort of looking back at my dad and like being tearful and thinking, he's always told me to, you know, not to go with strangers, and yet he's letting this man take me away. Why? So I don't know what happened with my dad, you know, where they took him, but I remember sort of being taken to a room which was a massive room, and then once inside there, the guy let my hand go and just let me go into the room, and there were hundreds of children in there, you know, from all different places. And straight away, I seemed to recognize somebody. You know, there was a boy there that I recognized from somewhere. He wasn't at my school or anything, but I knew that I knew him. And then we sort of joined hands, and we started playing with some bricks or something on the floor. And instinctively, I knew that he was deaf. And it's a strange thing, but, you know, I know that he was so familiar to me. And it's, you know, since sort of adulthood, you know, for many, many years, I'm so convinced that I will meet him again one day. And, you know, this feeling has never left me. And I know that there's this connection there, and I'm supposed to meet up with him again. And, you know, there is work for us to do.
Well, and what I was intuitively picking up as well is you've never stopped interacting. You're just interacting at a different level.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I feel that very strongly that you guys have done a lot of work, especially with anchoring some of the things that was necessary for us, you know, prior to the new paradigm and the fifth dimensional frequencies coming in. And
mm-hmm.
at some level, I feel like you're very aware of that. So, but one of the questions that has been presented as well is that I am wanted to know if you were able to, you know, put some of the pictures of the extraterrestrial beings within the book.
Right. Yes, I believe that you will find the picture that I drew of the lion man that I encountered. There's also a picture in there, I believe, of, you know, of what one of the very benign greys that, you know, that Jason has described sort of so lovingly to me. Also, there's still in there a picture of Daniel's soldier man, as he called him, Junus. I believe I put that in there. That's all I can think of, actually, but I'm sure that they are in the book.
Okay. So I hope that answers your question, IM, and we want to thank you all for your questions, your sharing of your thoughts with all of us. And I'd like to, well, actually, the title of our show tonight is, excuse me, everyone, is Walking Between Worlds, Belonging to None. We have author Ann Enders on the show with us this evening, and she is sharing with all of us the wonderful experiences that her and her family, along with her son Jason, have experienced. And we want to make sure that we let our guests for this evening know that we are extremely grateful for her courage and to share her wonderful insight about our wonderful extraterrestrial sisters and brothers that are here to assist us in helping us to become more connected with our part in our direct connection with all of them. With that said, I'd also like to share the website, and that is walkingbetweenworlds.co.uk. So great read, everyone. It'll give you a deep insight of the wonderful, wonderful world that we all truly live in, and that we are not indeed alone. With that, Anne, let me ask you this question. How is Jason doing today, and is he out there sharing with the world the firsthand knowledge and wisdom that has been entrusted in him?
Right. He isn't at the moment, but there is a reason for this. He was very, very active in this area. He was a main speaker at a lot of conferences, both in England and America. And basically, he had several warnings to, anonymous warnings, obviously, to, you know, to back down and, you know, not speak, not touch people, you know, with his words. I mean, I've sat in an audience and listened to him and watched the audience reaction, and, you know, a lot of people are left, so emotional, you know, that they're in tears, and because he seems to somehow manage to, you know, to reach deep down inside of them, and he touches something that, you know, sort of starts making them aware of just, you know, what they're capable of who they are and what they're able to do. But as I say, he did receive you know, warnings to stop doing this, which obviously he ignored, because, you know, he believes, as I do, that, you know, that this has to get out there. This is important stuff. After sort of two minor accidents, one which happened when we were all together coming back from a conference, I suddenly found that my car had no brakes. Say a week after that, he was in a major car accident, whereby his car was literally flipped into the air, rolled over several times, you know, in the air, came down on its roof, etc. You get the idea. It was thought to be a fatal accident. You know, the traffic just stopped, and nobody would sort of go down this hillside to check on the occupants, because they were convinced that, you know, that there will be no survivors. It was left to an off-duty police officer to do that. And she was absolutely dumbfounded when, you know, she sort of managed to, you know, sort of, like kick in the windshield. And, Jason, managed to sort of, you know, crawl out, not a mark on him. And then he managed to, you know, to help his wife Jacqueline out of the same vehicle.
And since, you know, I brought that up, Anne, because it's important for us, humanity, to understand, you know, the bravery, the courage, the dedication to the truth of our, you know, the extraterrestrial beings. And it does. That is reality. That has happened in the past. And it's important for all of us to really understand the magnitude of the path that these individuals had to walk to fight in the defense of bringing forth absolute truth to humanity. And, you know, it's so interesting, because Dr. Strange's was a former 35-year CIA, and he worked personally with the extraterrestrials, you know, on the first spaceships last year on the planet. He was actually called to the Pentagon to be, and he was personally assigned to actually work with Captain Thor. And he found information, and he himself too has come forth and finding that all over the world were more even former military individuals that carried high profile, high security positions are also coming on and sharing what they know also.
That's
and
great.
So I just want to take a moment and ask all our listeners just to process that for just a moment of all these brave individuals and the challenges that they may have firsthand walked and experienced in dedication to each and every one of us. And it just brings so much joy, yet tears to my eyes as well, of the joy and the dedication that these souls have fought so hard for all of us. And I want to just take a moment and really thank every one of them, including Jason and yourself and your family, Anne, because I know it hasn't been easy for all of you. But
no.
With that said, let me ask you this. Do you feel that you're still being watched by the governments and the military as well today?
Oh, yes, yes, most definitely. You know, they seem to like to make us aware of that fact as well, which is rather odd, you know, whether it's, they're trying to intimidate us or just blatantly don't care that we know that they're there, you know. It's quite amusing sometimes.
I bet it is. So let's just say hello. It's nice to have you around us and hope
That's
you're well.
It.
And you're not working too hard and he's not beating on you. I'm sorry, Anne.
No, not at all, no.
Does Jason have, and many of us, and he goes, do you find that Jason himself personally has special abilities along with many indigos on this planet?
Yes, he does. He is actually a wonderful healer. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm his mum. I mean, obviously I'm going to be biased, but, you know, I've watched him work, you know, on this level, on the physical plane. And it is just amazing. You know, he sort of, well, say this, I'll explain what it is. You know, a friend of a friend was having real problems. He had some trapped nerves in his neck, which even, like, you know, the best doctors couldn't help with. And he asked if, again, through friends, you know, if he could come and see Jason. And for a while, you know, Jason said, no, he doesn't need to. You know, now's not the right time. And then one morning he said, oh, this friend, you know, that you know about, tell him if he wants to come see me, that'll be great. And, of course, you know, the message got back. The guy came to see Jason along with his partner. And they were just sitting there talking, you know, discussing football and, you know, all this sort of thing and, you know, what singers Jason likes to watch and, you know, the usual sort of, you know, youngster conversation. And then, of course, when there was a lull in the conversation, I remember Jason was sitting there sort of eating a chocolate bar, I think. And the guy said to him, well, you do know why I'm here, don't you? And Jason, without even looking up, just said, yep, of course I do. It's done. And, you know, all the time the guy was sitting there, he hadn't even realized that, you know, he didn't have the pain that he'd arrived with. And it literally changed his life completely. You know, we heard that he gave up his business, he gave up, you know, what he was doing. He sold his home and bought, you know, a big sort of motorhome. And the last we heard, they were sort of driving around Europe somewhere on the proceeds of the sale of the house and absolutely loving life. So, you know, he has touched lives. He has changed lives. And, you know, I know that I'll say firsthand.
Yeah, and I feel very strongly that as he moves and flows through life, you know, he's literally activating the DNA within individuals, even if he doesn't necessarily speak to any of them, just by his presence alone. And I feel, you know, and he's probably talked to you about that in the past.
Yes, yeah, he has, because he tells me that although he's shied away from public speaking at the moment, but, you know, he always says, you know, don't write me off, I will be back. But at the moment, you know, it's obviously for the sake of his young wife, who, you know, he's obviously his first priority is her protection.
Right.
You know, and after what happened with the car accident, it was he calls it like a, you know, a wake up call, that basically that they prove to him what they can do if they want to. And of course, you know, his lovely wife Jacqueline is his world. So this is the reason why he's not doing, you know, some public speaking. But he's, as he said to me, you know, and he sort of grinned when he said it, he said that doesn't stop me from, you know, astral traveling and, you know, sort of helping people and teaching people and healing people, which he does, obviously on that soul level. So he said, you know, he said basically, he said, I'm still doing what I came here to do.
Yes, he is. And you tell Jason that we surely missed him on the show. We hope that he will eventually come to a place that he'll be able to come on the show and share himself personally with all of us, along with you as well, Anne. Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful to have you both on the show, and tell Jason anytime he wants to support me, feel free to do so.
I certainly will.
And I please let him know as well that we personally am very grateful for all the great works that he is doing and picking up humanity and speaking the truth, because I know it hasn't been easy. Mm-hmm. With that said, there's some misperceptions that I'd like to take a moment, if we may, and to break down some misinformation that has been placed out there, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to shed some light on that. You know,
okay.
We've heard so many stories of how we are to be afraid of the grays, and they're doing all kinds of stuff to us, and all, you know, the horror stories.
I do.
Can you shed some light on that?
Yes, I'll certainly try. As I said in the beginning, you know, at the very beginning of Jason's experiences, you know, there was immense fear, absolute terror, but that was purely and simply because of his upbringing. You know, as I said to you, this sort of thing does not happen. It's not real. Therefore, you know, why is he experiencing this? Why is he so alone? As I said, he's come on, you know, so much from there. You know, I mean, I have, we all have. And, you know, this whole thing has totally, totally changed our lives. You know, us as a family, we are very, very different people now to what we were, you know, all those years ago. Because we now appreciate, the planet, you know, we appreciate, each other. We have respect and love for, nature itself. And it's sort of wokeness, if you like. You know, it's made us all aware of, you know, what we're doing to the planet, and also of what sort of beings we are. You know, it's made us aware of, you know, just how powerful we can all be, you know, in spiritually, you know, as well as you know, as well as mentally. As for, you know, all the horror stories that, you know, that are out there, I would stick my neck out, I suppose, and say that a lot of those sort of things are planted by, you know, shall I say, the powers that be, that want us to stay stupid, if you like, you know, that want us to sort of go run into, you know, the government forces and say, oh, you know, please protect us, you know, look after us, look what's happening. We don't need that. We don't need anybody's protection or help, because we, each one of us, is a very, very powerful being in our own right. And once we can understand that, and once we can connect with, you know, these galactic beings, which, you know, most of them come with nothing but love for us, and, you know, sort of healing and helping and just, you know, wanting us to be a part of them, and ultimately, you know, get back to our very roots and become, excuse me, to become a part of the universe itself, which I believe is exactly what we are, what we all are. You know, each one of us is connected to another, and so it goes on. You know, we are all part of each other, and they are all part of us, and we all have that connection to spirit, to the universe itself.
That's right.
So,
I'd like,
you know,
to take a moment, Anne, if I may, mm-hmm. my apologies for the interjection. I'd like
That's
to
okay.
invite our caller on line 2 to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo's to Marcus from New Hampshire. Are you with us? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Yes?
Ah, we might have lost him.
Oh, yeah.
We'll give Seth a moment here. And Marcus, are you with us? Okay, so our apologies. We'll see what we can do about correcting the situation here. We are talking to author Ann Andrews. She has written a wonderful book of their personal journeys along with her son Jason, Walking Between Worlds, Belonging to None. The website information is www.walkingbetweenworlds.co.uk. No, a matter of fact, just one moment, and Marcus onto the line. He can hear us, but we can't hear him. Are you with us, Marcus? Hello? Okay.
No.
We can't hear him. So we do want to apologize to our caller, and we're getting close to the end of the show, and so maybe you can try hang up, call back in, and maybe we can get this corrected before I have to say goodnight to our lovely guest for this evening. If not, tune in next week. We're going to have Steve Baskett that works at the White House, Facts on Washington. This is the final show that we will be doing, Facts on Washington. So we trust that all of you will come and join us for that evening show as well. With that said, Ann, what is it that you would like to share with all of us this evening that our celestial sisters and brothers would like for all of us to know and understand about the shifts that are happening right now on our planet?
Okay, that's a tough one for me. I usually explain to people that, you know, I'm just a mum. I'm Jason's mum and Daniel's mum, and, you know, I'm not a researcher or anything like that. So, you know, you'll forgive me, but I can only go with what I feel to be, you know, the answers. But I feel that, yes, definitely, you know, the shift is happening. It's coming very strongly. It's starting to happen now. The vibration, you know, is getting higher. I believe personally that, you know, that there are so many of these star children coming into the world now, because they are coming here to help us, you know, to help us to get to that next stage where we so very much need to be. But, you know, we can all help each other to do that, you know, as I said before, because, you know, I believe that everything, absolutely everything, is energy in one form or another. And as energy can never be extinguished, you know, you can never destroy it. You know, that it's like, you know, that the heart, the spirit of the planet will endure, you know. And if we're ready, you know, we can you know, go along with it. You know, we can go into the next the next epoch, that the next, you know, that the next dimensional shift. And, you know, I'm sort of greatly looking forward to it. And, you know, from what Jason tells me, it's going to be, you know, absolute euphoria. So, but, you know, all of these. Sorry?
I'm starting to see some of it, and I have that real strong sense, even down to the higher vibrational colors. I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to it. And once all really connect with that greater understanding, woohoo, we are headed into a great place to be.
We are. I firmly believe that.
To try again, I know that our caller is back on the line, so I'd like to welcome Marcus from New Hampshire to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Are you with us, Marcus?
Hello, can you hear me this time?
Yes, we can. Welcome to the show.
That is great. It's been a great show, great energy. You know, I love a work with people of like mind and consciousness, like you, and I mean, it's so great to hear others that have experienced a lot of the love and the joy of our galactic family directly. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Can you feel Anne's energy? I've just very empowering, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, one thing is that, you know, as you know, Ilani, you know, I've had a lot of experiences. Even as you know, the government have sent their remote viewers to me, and I've had to, as you know from experience working with me, dispatch them, take, you know, get them out of our space. If you remember that experience we had together?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Leilani and I have done work together, and we've both seen that firsthand, the remote viewers, and we've had to say, we don't want you, get rid of you, bye. So,
well, I know you had mentioned earlier tonight, and I wanted to make sure that we shared this with Anne while we have you with us, mm-hmm. about the cat people. Now, Anne, is the cat people and the lion people all the one and the same, or are they two different beings?
Right. I've never, truthfully, I've never met anybody from, you know, from the cat race. So I can't sort of say 100% certain, but I do believe that they are different beings. You know, the lion man that I met was so immense, you know, in stature and, you know, just in his mannerism. Yeah. And from what I, my limited knowledge of the cat people, I wouldn't have said it was the same, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong because I've never personally sort of, you know, met one of them.
Well, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Marcus, but I have to apologize to my caller, Marcus, from New Hampshire, and to our guest this evening. I do have to end the show, so I personally want to thank you, Marcus, for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us this evening. Sorry that I have to end the show now. It's good stuff. Maybe we can talk Anne and coming back to rejoin us again. So,
and I'll come back at the same time. We can plan that later, Lonnie.
Fair enough. Good night to you and many blessings to you and to yours. I want to personally thank our guest this evening, author Anne Andrews. She's the author of book title, Walking Between Worlds, Belonging to None. The website is walkingbetweenworlds.co.uk. We personally thank you, Anne. We thank your family, and we thank Jason. And may you come back and share your knowledge with all of us.
I would love to. And thank you, Leilani. It's been an absolute privilege.
And it's been a true honor. And I know that I can speak comfortably with all the listeners this evening. They personally want to thank you and Jason as well. So lots of love, support, and hugs to you and to your family, Anne.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, and have a great, great day.
I will do. Thank you.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets you were born to fly. We were born to fly.